Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike Hoggard, pastor of Bethel Church in Festus, Missouri. And we're going to go to God's medicine cabinet today. We're going to be in the book of Psalms, and we're going to answer questions according to the Bible, things that you probably have struggled with, things that you've questioned. We're going to get some help and some answers from the Word of God today. We're going to be in two places in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 6 and Psalm chapter 32. The question that is on my mind, has been on my mind in the past, and maybe on your mind today as you're listening to this, is, can God forgive my sins, or does God forgive my sins? You might be somebody that has questioned that because of things that you've done in your life. And I will tell you that most people in this life, and we tend to cover it up pretty well, and we all have a secret about our past, things that we don't want anybody to know about. But most people in this world that I know have done some pretty terrible things. And we feel the guilt, and I'm going to tell you where that guilt comes. Guilt, by the way, is not your biggest enemy. But we feel the guilt because of what we've done. Our conscience is working against us because of what we've done. And we are seeking some sort of rest from that. Now, just because other people won't forgive you doesn't mean, and we're going to see this according to the Scriptures, it doesn't mean that God won't forgive you of your sins. And I will tell you, concerning all the things that we know about the Bible and things that we know about this life and the life to come, the most important thing that you will ever have in your life is God's forgiveness of your sins. That is your road and your bridge to eternal life. Some people ask the question, am I going to go to heaven when I die, or am I going to go to hell? And some people who have not had this question answered in their mind, whether or not their sins can be forgiven, have probably already relegated in their mind that since God won't forgive their sins, or they don't think God can forgive their sins, then they are doomed to hell. And this, of course, feeds a lifestyle in them that says, you know what, since I'm already going to hell, then it doesn't matter what I do from here on out. But I think God, by nature of you listening to this, I think God is wanting to send you a message right now that he's trying to stop you in your tracks. And he's wanting to let you know from the pages of his book, the Holy Bible, God is wanting you to know that he not only can forgive your sins, but he will forgive your sins if you will ask him to. So we're going to look in God's medicine cabinet. We're going to get some healing for our soul here. In the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 6, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. David said, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Now, I want to go and just sort of talk about these verses that we read, and then I'm going to dovetail that with another psalm, Psalm 32, here in a little bit. But back in verse 1, David, now I want you to get this now. David is addressing God. There are some people who believe that if all they can get in this life is the forgiveness of man, then that's all they're going to get, and they're happy with that. And I'm here to tell you that when it comes to sin, and sin is a transgression of God's law, God requires his forgiveness of our sins. No man can do for you what God wants to and can do for you in your life. So David is not necessarily addressing the people that he has sinned against, although I will tell you that as much as you are able to do, go seek the forgiveness of people that you have hurt, people that you have sinned against, people that you've talked about behind their back, people that you've transgressed against. Go and get their forgiveness. They may or may not forgive you of your sins. But here we are addressing a God who is always consistent in everything that he does. Let me give you another verse out of the Bible. It's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And when I'm sitting down with someone and I'm trying to show them how they can have eternal life, show them how they can be saved, this is one of the verses that I go to. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "For if we confess our sins, he," meaning God, "is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, there are several elements in this verse that I want to share with you. Number one is that it requires a confession of our sins to God. Nobody can have their sins forgiven by God by just sort of saying, "God, you know what I did, you're going to have to get over it." It requires a confession that we have, and a confession is an acknowledgement, and this is hard for us, it's hard for me, it's an acknowledgement that we have done something wrong, and we're sorry that we did it. So if we confess our sins, he, God, is two things. Number one, he's faithful, which means that God has always forgiven the sins of everyone who has ever asked for forgiveness. It doesn't matter what they've done. God has always forgiven their sins. So God is faithful, number one, and that God will never go against the promises that he's made. He's made those promises to me, and I've done some pretty stupid things in my life. He makes those promises to you as well, and you have done some pretty stupid things in your life too. And God is faithful that he will always forgive when we confess. So if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. That means that God is required by his own word that he will forgive our sins. And if we can't believe the word, if we can't believe the Bible, then we're really wasting our time even trying to confess our sins to God. So God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So David here, back in Psalm chapter 6, is addressing his prayer and his confession to the Lord. He said, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long?" Now, these three verses here, these first three, they deal with an aspect of God's working in our life. One of the sure signs, now listen to this now, this is going to help you. One of the sure signs that God is willing, able, and he is standing ready to forgive your sins, one of the sure signs of that is the very fact that God, through his Holy Spirit, is bearing down on your soul. Now, he uses the words here in verse 1, "Rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure." Those words there bring to my mind, and I don't know how it is with you, but they bring to my mind the chastening of my parents when I was a child and I did things wrong, and I could see, man, could I ever see the anger that was in my dad's face or the anger that was in my mom's face. And I was one of these that if you did things that were wrong and mom and dad warned you about and they said, "Don't do these things ever again," or they said, "Do this," and you didn't do it, I was one of these where my mom and dad, they chastened me. They got a hold of me. And I learned, now listen to this, I learned fear of my parents. Not fear like I was cowering in the corner like they were abusing me, but a respectful fear of my parents that if I did something wrong, I was going to be in trouble for it. And that's all there is to it. And here's what's happening maybe in your life right now. You're experiencing a time in your life right now where you can feel, I mean, it just doesn't seem like anything's going right. There's tension in your marriage, or there's tension in your work, or there's tension between you and friends that you have, it just seems like your bills are not being paid. It just seems like everything is going wrong. And a lot of times people will say, "God, why are you doing this to me?" And in some cases, the answer is simple. God is trying to get your attention. He is putting anger on you, his anger on you, because you have violated his word. You have transgressed his law. You've done things that you should have never done, that you knew were wrong. And folks, listen, the Ten Commandments, God says, are already written in our hearts. We know that it's wrong to commit adultery. We know that it's wrong to steal. We know that it's wrong to lie. We know that it's wrong to covet. We know that it's wrong to not honor the Lord and not honor our parents in our life. We know those things are wrong. And the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our conscience, because we know what we did, is bearing down on us, and we are feeling the anger, and we are feeling the chastening of Almighty God in our lives. And He is doing that for a reason. And the reason is He's bringing you to a point in your life. This is how God works. This is how God works in Mike Hoggard's life. Just because I'm a preacher, just because I attend church, just because I study the Bible, that does not make me guiltless. It does not make me sin-free. Just as posted signs along the highway that tell you how fast you should drive on that particular road doesn't keep you from disobeying that commandment. It's the same way. I have disobeyed God. I have been reckless in my life at times. I have felt the chastening of Almighty God. And during those times, God had my attention because God was wanting me to repent of my sins. And that chastening now, watch this, that chastening in verse 2 brought David to the point to where he said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Have mercy upon me." One of the things that I know and I love about the God that I serve, and this is what separates him from every other God that there is out there, false God that there is out there, is that our God is a merciful God. The Bible says that His mercies are new every day. And so the sins that we committed yesterday, if they are forgiven, if we repent and if they are forgiven, as far as God's concerned, it's over and done with. And God is the God, and I like this now, God is a God of new beginnings. And He shows us new beginnings. He shows it to us year after year in the springtime. He shows it to us in the different cycles that are in this world, but He shows it to us every single day because every single day is a renewed opportunity to live for God, and that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So God is a merciful God. God loves you so much that He will chasten you and He will bring your soul to a point where you're ready to say, "God, that's enough. I can't take anymore. God, You have my attention. And God, would You have mercy upon me?" And David made an admission here in this verse that nobody likes to admit. He said, "For I am weak, O Lord." Now, I tell you, there are some people in this world who will never enter into the gates of heaven and receive eternal life for the mere fact that they are full of pride. They will never admit that they're weak. They will never admit that they're wrong. They will never admit that they're sinful. They will never admit anything. And remember, 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, you have to come to a place in your life where, number one, you need the mercy of Almighty God. There is a verse back in the book of Genesis, and I love these stories in the Bible because they describe for us these Old Testament and New Testament characters. You know, these people that we put way, way, way up on a pedestal, and we say, "Wow, these people were so full of faith, and they were so righteous, and they were so good." The truth of it is, the Bible bears out the fact that they were sinners. The Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And the interesting thing here is that you only find what you're looking for. And Noah was looking for grace because he needed it. Noah needed the forgiveness of his sins, and he found it in the eyes of the Lord. Noah admitted that he was weak. Other people in the Bible have admitted that they're weak. I'm telling you right now that I, in my flesh nature, am a very weak individual. I have no strength in myself to stand on my own, and there will not be, as is in some people's minds, and I hope that it's not in yours, and if it's in yours, I'm going to correct it for you right now. You will never, ever gain eternal life in heaven by the strength of your own will or the strength of your own morality. You will never have it. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that includes me, and that includes you too. One of the things that God honors the most is when a person lays themselves out before God and it finally admits, "God, You were right all along. I can't do this. I cannot make myself be a better person. I can't stop myself from sinning. these sins, these thorns that are in my flesh, these addictions that I have, God, I cannot break their power in my life. And so you come to the Lord, not in your strength, but in your weakness. And you present your weakness to God. And God then, just like he told the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, he told him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for in your weakness I am made strong. So David said, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. David was talking to God here and telling him, look, God, this just will not let me go. It will not shake loose from me. I am aching in my body. I am terrified of the things that I'm feeling right now. God, right down in the deepest part of my bones, I am vexed because of my sin. It's bothering me, and it won't let me go. David asked the question, but thou, O Lord, how long? The legitimate question here, because oftentimes we have asked God for something, and it didn't seem like he heard our prayer. We've asked God to forgive our sins. We've asked God for help in our life. We've asked God for this. We've asked God for that. And it just didn't seem like that God heard us at that time. But I'm going to show you from this that God heard your prayer, but he's going to do it in his time. So the question is, O Lord, how long? God will let you know. Now he says, verse 4, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Now here's the interesting thing. You might have been, or you might be right now, in a situation in life where you feel like that you and God are separated. Now, the reason why you feel that way goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve sinned that first sin in eating that fruit that God told them not to eat of, the Bible says that immediately their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. And here comes God walking through the Garden of Eden in the cool of the evening, and he calls out to Adam and Eve, where art thou? Now, it wasn't that God couldn't see them hiding in the bushes, because that's where they were. God was sending a message to people that sin separates us from God. And if you're in a situation right now where you feel like that God is a million miles away from you, and he's not blessing you, and he has nothing to do with you right now, I'm telling you that more than likely, it's because your sin and your unwillingness to repent and let go has separated you from God. And so David now is saying, God, okay, I have tried to walk on my own all this time, and I can't do it. So Lord, return. Deliver my soul. Oh, here it is. I love these words. Save me. Some people ask, what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be born again? Well, it's very simple. I, as a sinner, am on a road to hell, and I believe in a literal burning place of eternal torment called hell. That is what I believe in. I believe that because this Bible tells me that that place is real, and I don't want to go there. And here again, I can't get there on my own merit or on my own strength. And so I ask God, God, save me, because I don't want to go to hell. So return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. God has a reputation for being a merciful God. And God is always going to honor his way and his word and his kingdom. And David is crying this out to God. God, don't do it for my sake, because I'm not a good person. God, don't do it for my family's sake. God, you do this for your mercy's sake. Because David realizes, as we move into this next verse, David realizes where he's headed. And I will tell you that anybody that has stood before a casket of a loved one or of a friend, those caskets are to be a reminder to us of where we're headed one of these days. We're all are going to die one of these days. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You and I have an arrest warrant because of our sins. We have an arrest warrant before Almighty God, and we have a summons to appear in God's courtroom, and death is when the angels carry our soul from this world into God's courtroom to be judged for the sins. And the fact is, you know that you did it, and your conscience knows you did it, and God knows you did it, and everybody around you knows you did it, and you're going to be testified against in God's courtroom. And so we are all headed to death one of these days. So here's what David said in verse 5. For in death there is no remembrance of thee, and in the grave who shall give thee thanks? You know what David was declaring here? Now you listen to this. You are given one opportunity to repent of your sins, to call upon the name of the Lord, and to be saved so that you can inherit eternal life. That one opportunity is your life right here on this earth right now. The Bible is very clear. Let me repeat this verse again. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And David says here, for in death there is no remembrance of thee, in the grave who shall give thee thanks? The truth of it is, people, that as long as your heart is beating, you have an opportunity right now to have your sins forgiven by God and to receive the gift, the free gift of eternal life. But the truth of it is, if your heart stopped beating today and you stopped breathing and you died, that opportunity is over. And some people will listen to the gospel and they will hear a preacher preach and they will say, I'm going to do this, but some other time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation because you don't know when you're going to die. And so David said, Lord, don't save me a year from now. Don't save me 5 years from now. Save me now. He said in verse 6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. And I'm gonna just talk to you personally just for a minute, because I have done this. And I can tell you that I am a normal person. I may be a little abnormal in some areas, but I am a normal person in that I experience what I preach. I know about sin. I know about the guilt of sin. And I know about laying in bed at night and having my sins brought to my remembrance, and filling my pillow with my tears and saying, God, please don't shut me out. God, please save me. God, please have mercy on me. I know all about that. And I can almost guarantee you that if you're somebody with any conscience whatsoever, if you're someone that has a soul that believes in God, I will tell you that more than likely you've laid your head down on your pillow at night, grieving over the mistakes that you made, grieving over the people that you've hurt, the loved one, the family members, the friends that you have hurt in your life, grieving in your soul. God, please do something. And you water your couch, that's your bed, with your tears. David said in verse 7, mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. And I will tell you that when your sin is being manifested in your life, I can tell you that the people around you know it. They can see it. They can sense it in your life. They can tell that there's something not right with you. He said, mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. You know who your enemies are? Your enemies, you know who your enemies are? Your enemies are your own flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's your sinfulness that is an enemy to your soul, and it's grieving you in your heart. I can't stop. Lord, I can't keep from sin. God, I can't do this. I am weak. And so now that David has made his cry unto the Lord, and he said, God, it's because of mine enemies. I can tell you, as someone who knows a little bit about the Bible, the more I study, the more I see that God loves his people and he is against their enemies. And you start talking to God and pleading to God, God, save me from mine enemies. God, deliver me from my enemies. Here comes God riding on his white horse. And now David, in verse 8, now we see a turn in here. We see a turn in David. David's gone through the chastening. He's gone through the crying. He's begging God for mercy. His flesh is weak, and everybody around him knows there's something wrong with him. And now David has the assurance. It's called faith. It's called trust. Do you trust God today? Remember, he is faithful and just. And now David said, right out of the blue, verse 8, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Now, I want to stop right here because Jesus Christ himself quoted part of this verse in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. Jesus is talking about there's going to be some in heaven, there's going to be some not in heaven. There's going to be religious people who say they believe in God that are not going to go to heaven. Why? Because they will not allow God to deliver them from their sins. And so Jesus said, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. He is quoting Psalm chapter 6, verse 8 here. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And verse 28, listen to what Jesus said. Now, Jesus believed in hell. And he said, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is a description of hell. The torments of hell are for all eternity, people. Why wouldn't you want to have your sins forgiven today? So David said, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Now, he's saying this twofold. Number one, he doesn't want people mocking him anymore because of the sinfulness that's on his life. He wants that reproach removed. And I'll tell you, listen to me, I will tell you that there are people out there in this world that when your name comes up, they immediately think of your sins and your transgressions. And you know what? You can't do anything about that. You cannot go back in a time machine and change what it is that they know about you. You can't do it. But I will tell you that you can come to a point in your life and say, you know what? It doesn't matter to me what they think. If they will not forgive me, we're going to get back to this now. If they will not forgive me, I know that God will forgive me. And so you know what, people? I love you, and I want you to have the same forgiveness that I have. But if you can't forgive me, I can't help you because I know that God has. The second thing that David is saying here is that there is consistently throughout the scriptures a theme that those who want forgiveness of their sins and they want to inherit eternal life, God calls them out into separation. You want forgiveness of your sins. You can't be hanging around the sinners that you used to hang around with. All of a sudden, God puts a new nature in you. When you get saved, God puts a new nature in you. And all of a sudden, you don't want to be around sinners anymore. You don't want to watch the same TV programs anymore. You don't want to listen to the same music anymore. You don't want to run around with that crowd anymore. And so in your mind and your heart, you're saying, you know what? I want to go to heaven. And these people that I'm with and these things that I associate myself with will not get me there. In fact, they'll hold me back and I want nothing to do with it. And so depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Here's what he said. For the Lord, listen to this now, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. There is a guarantee in the scriptures that if you'll go to God, a broken, ruined person, God will hear the voice of your weeping. I don't care what you've done. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, God hears the repentant heart. He said so in his word. Verse 9, the Lord hath heard. David's now, he's got assurance now. I mean, it's almost like he's got his Popeye suit on and he's eating spinach. He said, the Lord hath heard my supplication. Now he's, notice the change. He was on his couch. He was weeping. He was sore in his bones. But now David has risen up. And he said, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Friends, there's nothing in the world like having that assurance in your heart that when you confess your sins to God, God forgave you of your sins and he made you whole again. And he says in verse 10, let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. The people and the sins and the lifestyles of this world that tried to bring your soul down to hell, David said, God, do away with them. Let them be ashamed that they ever came after me. Now, I'm going to dovetail everything that we learned here in Psalm chapter 6 with Psalm chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter in the Bible that goes along with this theme of, can my sins be forgiven? And once they're forgiven, what happens to them? Does God ever bring them back to mind? Let's look in Psalm chapter 32. We're going to read this, and we're going to receive medicine from God's cabinet today. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he. Now, I like this word. I'm just going to stop here. Blessed, and I want to be blessed. I want the blessings of God on me. I want the blessings of God on my marriage. I want God to bless me and my wife together so we're not fighting all the time, we're not arguing all the time, we're not mad at each other all the time. Listen, I told you my life is just about as normal as yours, and I tell you, my wife and I, we have our ups and downs just like everybody else does. I want God's blessing in my marriage. I want God's blessing on my children. I want God's blessing on my labor here at this church, or in my general labor around the house. I want God to bless my garden. I'm growing a garden this year. I would like God to bless my garden. But ultimately, I want the blessing, and the word blessing is a salvation word. I want the blessing of Almighty God to save my soul. I want to know that I have a guarantee that if I died today, I would go to heaven. So he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. We were talking about that in Psalm chapter 6. In other words, God has totally removed. He has forgiven. Now, God is not like men. God is not like people that you and I know. When some people say they forgive us, we know they really don't. I mean, you know, they may sound like they forgive us, but the truth of it is, you and I both know that they have not forgotten about what we did to them. And I will tell you, some of the things we have done to people makes it nearly impossible for people to truly forgive us. But I will tell you that if God said it's forgiven, then it's forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That means God sees it no more because it has a covering on it. Now, I want to go back again to the book of Genesis chapter 3 and look at the story of Adam and Eve very quickly, because the first thing that Adam and Eve did when they sinned is that the Bible says their eyes were open and they knew they were naked. And nakedness, you know how, you know, we have, you've ever had this dream that like you were standing in front of people and you were naked. You know, a lot of people have that dream. Some people don't, but some people do. But we have this fear of being naked in front of people. It's a thing that God has built into us called shame. And the very first thing that Adam and Eve knew when they sinned was shame, because sin brings a shame. You probably have done things in your life that you don't even want to think about anymore. You're so ashamed of them. And so the first thing that Adam and Eve did was they tried to cover themselves. And God sent a message from the very beginning that you cannot cover your own sins. We try to cover up things. We try to lie about it. The Bible talks about people who have made lies their covering. We've tried to lie about things. We've tried to cover up. We've tried to bribe people. I mean, politicians bribe people and things like that to cover up their sins and all this stuff. And we see all that happening around us. But the truth of it is, it won't work. And God sent a word to Adam and Eve, and he sends a word to us today. You trying to cover your own sins like it's not there anymore, God sees right through it. There's one thing that God covers sins with, and that is the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all of our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. And God is telling you right now, you want a blessing in your life, have your sin covered. That means they will never, ever, ever be brought to the remembrance of God ever again. He says in verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, two things here. He says, number one, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now, get this. We talked earlier about God's courtroom. Okay, so you have all these charges against you. You've got adultery, and you say, well, I've never cheated on my wife or husband. Yeah, but you lusted after somebody, and Jesus said that's the same thing, so that counts. You've stolen, you've lied, you've coveted, you've broken God's commandments. In fact, you probably broke every one of them. You broke God's commandments, and there's a warrant out for your arrest, and you go to God's courtroom. Now, they're going to read off the charges, everything that you've ever done in your life, and the sentence, the punishment for what you've done, the Bible says, is death. For all of sin and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And so you're going to have to suffer in hell, in God's prison. You've got an eternal life sentence waiting for you in God's prison. But something happened. Someone showed up in the courtroom before you got there and said, Lord, I have covered all of his sins, and I have taken his punishment on me, on myself, and I've done that because I love him, Lord. And so blot his sins out. And all of a sudden now, whereas you had a record in God's courtroom, Now it's as if you had never done anything wrong. That's how God sees this thing. So blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now that God has forgiven your sins, you like the fact that God forgave your sins, and you're not going to try to hide them from God anymore. You get to a point in your life where you love the Lord, and you say, God, don't let sin last very long in my life without making me repent. And I can tell you that God has brought me to that numerous times where God said, Mike, you sinned. You broke my law. Mike, you need to repent. And I tell you what, back to that Psalm 6 again, God just bore down on me and chastened me. And then I repented. There are four things here. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, I count things in the Bible, and I see patterns in the Bible. There are four things here, and there are four books in the Bible called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And all four of those books of the Bible deal with Christ's atonement for our sins. Christ became the sacrifice that pleased God. The sacrifice of bulls and calves and goats and lambs in the Old Testament could never truly atone for the sins of man. It took the perfect, unblemished, unsinful Lamb of God, which was Jesus Christ, who offered himself. Man, I love that. Because Jesus said, greater love hath no man that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And my friend, Jesus Christ, loved me so much. He loved me. I am the dirtiest dirt bag that probably ever lived. And Jesus Christ loved me so much that he went in my place and took my punishment and offered himself up as a ransom for my sins and my transgressions. And that's what the story of the Gospels is all about. David said in verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones waxed all through my roaring all the day long. As long as we won't pray, it's going to go rough on us. Verse 4, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. That's God, again, bearing down on David's soul. Finally, in verse 5, David said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity, listen to this, mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Right back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now in verse 6, he says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. I just got to deal with this. Because we always picture godly people as people that never sin, people that never do anything wrong, people that have never transgressed. Why, they're just perfect, and we call them godly. The truth of it is, someone that is godly is someone that has a broken heart before God about their transgressions. It's not that they don't sin anymore. Nobody. I don't care how long they've been. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. Nobody is perfect, not even after they get saved. But a godly person will do what we find here in the scriptures. They will acknowledge their sin. They will confess their transgressions before God. They won't try to hide it. They won't try to whitewash it. They won't try to say, well, God, I think what I did was okay, but I'm going to go ahead and confess it to you anyway, just to make you happy. That's not someone that has a broken heart. Unless you truly realize that what you did was wrong, there's no forgiveness for you. Your best bet is to know that what you did violated the laws of God. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. The floods represent God's judgment. So you know what just happened here? Because you confessed your sins, because you admitted your transgressions to God, and you said, God, save me. God said, you know what? I'm going to withhold my judgment from you. Wow. Verse 7, for thou art my hiding place. I'm not going to hide in my own covering. I'm not going to try to act like I have never done anything wrong. And this is what, you know what? You might be listening to this, and you probably won't go to a church anymore because you're sick and tired of church people in your mind thinking that they've never done anything wrong. And I'm here to tell you at Bethel Church, And this is not a brag on our church at all. God has forgiven them of their sins, and they don't act like they're better than everybody else. How can we? How can we act like we're better than everybody else? And so we have simply made God our hiding place. He said, "Thou shalt preserve me from trouble." God can keep you when you cannot keep yourself. "Thou shalt compass me," which means surround me, "about with songs of deliverance." I like to sing old hymns in this church. I mean, we don't sing a lot of new songs. We sing a lot of old songs because those songs are about the deliverance that Christ has made to us. "I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in." That old song, "Just a Little Talk with Jesus," we sing here quite often. He says in verse 8, "I will instruct thee." Now, this is God talking. Now that God has forgiven your sin, here's what God tells you. He said, number one, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." God's saying, you know what? You've come to me for forgiveness, and I forgive you. And truthfully, you don't know how to live the right way. And God said, I'm going to instruct you. How does God instruct us? Number one, by reading his word. Number two, by direction from the Holy Spirit working in the Word. Number three, this is important, by a godly preacher who preaches the true gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching those things. Sunday school, Bible study, Wednesday night, Sunday night services. God is spending those times trying to instruct us in the way that we ought to go. Now, here's what else God says in verse 9. "Be ye not as the horse," or as the mule. You know how stubborn people get. That's what a mule represents. "Which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." In other words, don't be someone who is uncontrollable. Be someone that God, through his Spirit and through his word, can get control of your life. And God can say, before you go sin, let me take care of you. Let me hold you back from it. And I will tell you, I have made that my life's prayer. God, don't let me get too far. God, don't even let me get close to sin. Hold me back. Verse 10, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked." I know that one, and you know that one. Because wickedness and our transgression before God simply brings sorrow. "But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." Means make a big circle. God's going to envelop you and circle you with mercy. You will have in your life an unending supply of God's rich mercy in your life. The Bible says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. As someone who trusts in the Lord, and when I say I trust in the Lord, I trust God. I trust the Spirit of God showing me where I need to be in my life. And I trust his word. That's something that we stand on wholeheartedly here at Bethel Church, that we're not about much here. We don't have a big band that plays in our church. We don't have a big light show. We don't have all the trappings that some of these other churches have. But I will tell you that something that we have is very simple, yet very profound. We trust the Bible. And if the Bible says this is wrong, then it's wrong. And if the Bible says this is right, then it's right. And if the Bible tells us to do something, then that's what we try to do. And if we fail, we know that God will give us forgiveness if we will repent of our sins. And I'm telling you that I have put my trust in God. I don't trust governments. I don't trust men. The older you get, you learn that there are less and less people in this world that you can trust. People will betray you, even close friends, even family members. God never will. And so you decide to put your trust in God, and he will always circle you and envelop you in mercy. And finally, verse 11, "Be glad in the Lord." Remember how we started out. We were under the weight of sin and transgression. We were just, God, it just seemed like we were going to die at any moment. We were afraid. We were afraid we were going to die and go to hell. And now he says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous." Now, let me say this again. Godly people and righteous people are people that cannot make themselves godly and righteous. Let me tell you a little story about a guy named Martin Luther. He was a Roman Catholic monk around the 1500s, and he had removed himself from the world. He even did, and I don't know if you know this goes on, but he even did what monks and nuns do to themselves. He flagellated himself. He had a whip, and he literally whipped his body. You say, that doesn't go on anymore. Yes, it does. They whipped themselves and beat themselves in order to make themselves stop sinning. And it didn't work. And Martin Luther secluded himself, did nothing but pray and read the Bible, and whipped himself trying to beat his body in submission. And he was still a sinner. And he would read the book of Romans, and I encourage you to read the book of Romans. He would read the book of Romans, and he would see in there about the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God. And it made him angry, because how could God expect of him righteousness, and it never happened? And then the light came on, because God said to him, "Let there be light." And the light came on in his soul, and he realized by reading the scriptures that the righteousness of God was not the righteousness that God demands us to attain to. Don't let anybody tell you that, because you can't do it. The righteousness of God is the righteousness that is given to us as a free gift by Jesus Christ. So that when we stand before God in his courtroom, God doesn't see us a broken, ruined, vile, nasty sinner. God sees his son, Jesus Christ. That's who the righteous are. The righteous are the people that have their sins forgiven. But be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let me tell you what it means to be upright. What it means to be upright is to have a heart that says, God, I am a sinner. I confess my sins to you. I confess my faults to you. God, you and you alone can save me. That is someone who is upright in heart. And so the question is, can God forgive my sins? The answer is yes. Will God forgive my sins? The answer is, if you ask him to, he will. Confess your sins to God, as many as you can remember, and the things that you can't remember and the things you don't even know you did, because we do things and we don't even realize it. That's how good as sinners we are. Tell God, say, God, and God, I'm going to confess everything I can think of, but God, I can't think of things. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray. And God will deliver us from sins that we can't even remember, and God will deliver us from them. I hope that you trust and believe God's word, and I hope you received a blessing today from God's medicine cabinet in the book of Psalms. If you want more teachings like this, just look for our CDs, or have asked the person who gave you this CD for another one. You can also get these at www.sermonaudio.com/Bethel. We have a lot of our series, a lot of our sermons, a lot of our teaching series on that website, or you can simply come visit us at Bethel Church, 1233 American Legion Drive, Festus, Missouri, 63028. You can call or write us. Our phone number is 636-937-3233, and we'll give you much more teachings like this. This is Pastor Mike, and I hope that this has been a blessing to you. I know that in bringing it, it has been a blessing to my soul. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.